bless this day. This is the day that you have made, Lord. And we rejoice and we're glad in it. Praise God. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, I saw this yesterday. I'd never seen this quite in this light before. But the Bible says the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that gets brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. You know what that means? That means your days are getting better.
That's good. Amen.
That's
great. That means your days are getting brighter and they're getting better. Praise the Lord. And throughout eternity, a million years from now, when we're with Jesus, it's going to get better. And you think, could it get any better? And then God does something else and it just gets better. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? Oh, my goodness. I wish I could say it. I have to say it in the Spirit. Hallelujah. But in Romans chapter 10, we've been on the subject of now faith is for a few weeks now. This is our fourth session. Praise God. Snow is gone in Jesus' name for the year. In Romans, the 10th chapter, look at verse 13 through 17. I want you to see this. We're talking about, we got into the edge of this last week about how your faith can grow, how your faith can grow. Now, faith is measurable. The Bible talks about weak faith, strong faith, you know, different types of faith in the Bible, unfeigned or genuine faith. And your faith can grow, just like a muscle can grow. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But in Romans chapter 10, it says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Say, I'm a whosoever. Well, what's a whosoever? Everybody won't. Anybody can. Somebody will. Say what, brother? Everybody won't. Anybody can. Somebody will. Whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, amen. That means anybody can do this. That doesn't mean everybody will, but they could. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. And that's the word healed too, by the way. Amen. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How many of you know preachers are important?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not just saying that because I was one. But I listen to preachers too. And where I am today is a result. What I am today is a result of the preachers that God has placed in my life. Without those preachers in my life, both Lynn and I, we wouldn't be anywhere today. We wouldn't even be standing up here right now. But it was because somebody was obedient to preach that was called of God, anointed of God, to preach the Word of God that transformed our lives and continues to transform our lives. And that's pretty exciting. Amen? Someone says, well, what's your favorite movie? Well, that's not even a normal question. It should be, who's your favorite preacher? What's your favorite sermon? Amen. That's what really matters. Amen. I'm getting off here. But it says, that how shall they call on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, we bring the gospel of peace, good news. That means glad tidings simply means that's something you usually see on a Christmas card. Good news, glad tidings, you know what I mean? That makes it all religiousized. But actually, the Word of God, the Bible says the gospel means what? Good news. The gospel is good news. And so what's good news to a sick person? You can be healed, amen. What's good news to a person that's broke? You can have abundance, amen. What's good news to an oppressed person? They can have peace, right? But at verse 16, but they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah say, who has believed our report? Now he's referring back to Isaiah 53. And here's the key verse right here in verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, the Bible says, and I'll just refer to this right now, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. But notice it's not just for casual acquaintances, it's for diligent seekers. Amen? When we get so fed up and tired with this world system, the way things are, it's going down in a hurry, this world system. You know that, don't you? It's all negative, it's all going down where it's supposed to go. But we keep coming up because we're not in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, praise the Lord. And so when the world suffers, we don't have to. When there's tragedy over there, that doesn't happen in our house. Amen? See, we have a covenant with Almighty God, a covenant of divine protection, a covenant of provision, a covenant of healing. That's our God. And he says, so then, faith cometh, how? By hearing, and hearing what? All right. Not the 6 o'clock news. No, faith leaveth. Faith cometh, faith leaveth. Amen? I have never seen in my life up to this point, I'll be 55 at the end of this month, and I have never, because of the internet and so forth and so on, there are so much blasphemous things that are being posted on there about things, all the things that the devil's doing. How many of you know that? And sometimes you just have to shut that thing and get away from that and say, you know what? I believe God. I trust the Lord. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand in Psalm 91, but it's not coming to this house. Now, someone that hears me say that may not think, you sound real cocky when you say it. No, we're not being confident in what we can do. Let's settle that right now. It's what God has already done and what God has promised. And so our faith is not in man. It's in the living God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. And he's the one that brings divine protection to us. He's the one that will keep us from sickness and Ebola and all these other things. He's the one that will keep us. Okay? If we trust him. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. So is it important what we hear? Oh yeah. Is it important what we see?
Yes.
I'll just refer to this, but Proverbs chapter 4 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Why? Those words are life to those that find them, and health and healing and medicine to all their flesh. Praise God. There's something about saturating your eyes and your ears. I think there's a hospital in Pittsburgh called Eye and Ear Hospital. Well, you know what? That's right here. Because I tell you what, when you come here, you're going to get good stuff to put in your eyes and good stuff to put in your ears. And when you go home, you can do the same thing all week long. And then when you come back to church next Sunday, you're not dragging yourself in here. Oh, it's been a rough week, man. Oh, you look like last year's bird's nest, you know what I'm saying? And you come dragging yourself in here, you know? No, when you get in the presence of God during the week, and you sing in your car, you sing in your shower. There's good reverb in your shower, you know that. It'll carry your voice, bless the Lord. That you'll get the victory on Monday, you'll get the victory on Tuesday, and you won't have to have somebody pray for you when you come. No, we don't mind praying for people, but you can have victory Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Praise the Lord. I'm excited today. Praise God. I'm excited. And it's not a hyped up thing. It's not a mental thing. It's not a psychological thing. But there's a stirring in my spirit. There's a stirring in there that I've never had before. An anticipation, an expectation of the goodness of God and what God is going to do in our midst, in your lives, in this church. See, the church, obviously we're not in a church building yet. It's on its way.
Amen?
Amen. And but the church is made up of individuals, which is you and me. We are the church. Living stones, we make up the church. And we are the body of Christ. And God is doing something inside of us. There's great victory that's in the atmosphere. Amen? And thank you, Holy Spirit. There are some family victories that are coming to this body. I've never even said that before, but there's some family victories that's coming to you in this body. Family victories. Okay? In the past, we would call it maybe different things and so forth, but I sense in my spirit this morning, family victory. Some of you have been standing for some people in your family, and now's the time for the Lord of the breakthrough to come and visit your house. Okay? We've prayed that out. Pray that in the Spirit. Prayed it in the Holy Ghost. And that's what's coming up inside my spirit. It's time for family victories. Praise the Lord. For your bloodline. For your children. For your sisters and your brothers and your children and your grandchildren to make an about face, to turn around, and to walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. Mark that down because it's happening. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Josh, just bring the scripture up. You don't have to turn here, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says that we are bound to give thanks for you always, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, notice this, your faith groweth exceedingly. And your love, every one of you towards one another, aboundeth. Notice here it says that your faith is growing exceedingly. And then it goes on to say, in your charity. Now that's the word agape. That's the God kind of love. Is the God kind of love is abounding. Amen? So not only is your faith increasing, but when your faith increases, your love increases. You know, there is such a thing, and we'll get into this. I'll just kind of whet your appetite with it now. But the Bible says that we having the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Do you know there's a spirit of faith? And you can have the spirit of faith on you where nothing looks impossible. In the natural, you could be facing some stuff that is like curl your hair if you have straight hair. Or straighten it if you have curly hair. Okay? But when you get into the presence of the Lord, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, the hills will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. So that hills represent, you know, obstacles, right? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And so when you're in the Spirit, when you get close to God, everything that He has in Him comes out onto you. How many of you know God's not weak?
Amen.
God's not pitiful. God's not having a pity party. And when you get in God's presence, He's full of strength. And I mean, there's no one as strong as our God. There's no one as full of faith as our God. There's no one that's full of faith as our God. And so when we get in His presence, amen, through just talking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, what He has in Him comes off on us, and then we take it into the world.
Amen.
We take it into the world. We take it to the people at work, the people around us. How many of you know they need Jesus?
Amen.
Okay? But you're not commissioned to just roll your sleeves up and just do it in the natural. Okay? You can get more done by simply spending time with God and putting your heart into that. I'm not talking about a legalistic way of, you know, you do this and then you do this, you know, and it's just all legalistic and it's all like the rules type thing. I'm talking about, hello, Jesus, I'm here today. What do you want to say to me? Do you have something for me today? Oh, I mean to tell you, He will talk to you. He will commune with you. It's the most marvelous thing in the world. And when you step out the door and you go in your place, of wherever you're going throughout the day, you are carrying the presence of God. You know, there's such a thing as people that are carriers of diseases, right? We are carriers of the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
And everywhere we go, the presence of God goes with us. Amen? I walked out there. It's hard to walk these hallways or stand still in these hallways when you're filled with the Holy Ghost before service. You just want to run around that big loop. There's a big loop that goes around here. And you just want to bless everybody you can come in contact with. Amen? It's the most marvelous thing, because when you get so filled with God and filled with His presence and filled with His goodness, you just want to give that to other people. The love of God just comes up out of you, and you just want to love on people and just bless them. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. But He said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Amen? Everybody looks different today. Up here. Everybody looks different. Hallelujah. I don't mean that negatively. I mean that's a good thing. I think I'm seeing things through God's eyes even more than I ever have.
Amen.
And I'll tell you guys, He loves you so much. God loves you so much. He cares for you so much. When you hurt, He hurts. When you're in pain, He's in pain. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to get intimately involved with your life. And He wants you to come to Him. Okay? Don't run from God. Run to Him. Just run to Him. He's your help. He's your answer. Amen? Sometimes we can labor in the natural for so long and it just wears us out. Some use the phrase burnout. Man, we don't ever have to burn out in God. There is no burnout in God. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, bless the Lord. There's a strength that's coming to you, all of you that are here. There's a divine strength today that's being released into you. Even as I speak those words, it's going out into the atmosphere. It's going into your life. You will never be the same again. When you leave this place today, when you go back and you see those same situations, you're looking at them differently now. Because now it's God looking through you. It's not just you looking that thing down and saying, all right, how are we going to figure this out? No. God, through you, will become stronger and stronger. When I first got saved, you know, as a teenager, the first thing I noticed, and I was 16, it was in the month of May of 1976, the bicentennial year. I was 16 years old. So you can do the math, figure out how old I am. Okay. But I went back to my junior high school that I was involved with, and there were some kids that I grew up with, that I went to school with, that did me wrong, okay, that were just mean and nasty. And from the natural, I hated them, okay? But when I went away to that youth camp and I received Christ, God changed my heart. Now, I knew nothing. I had no teaching. I was still in a Methodist church. I didn't know anything. All I knew was I was blind, but now I see. I go back to that school, you know, after our little break that we had for spring break, and I went back to the school, and I saw those same kids that I despised and couldn't stand because they, you know how it is. Kids can be mean as the devil sometimes in school.
Worse.
Yeah. Let's just say they're buddies with the enemy. Well, I saw these same people, these same kids, and all of a sudden I wasn't angry at them anymore. I wasn't mad at them anymore, and I almost felt bad for them. And I thought, I had to scratch myself, what's going on? Why am I different? Well, I found out later in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He's given unto us.
Amen.
The love of God. It's not just the love of man, it's the love of God has been shed abroad in Romans 5:5 in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He hath given unto us. And all of a sudden, unconsciously, that love was controlling the way I thought and the way I acted and the way I treated people around me. But I didn't know that what the deal was with that. I just felt different, you know, but it was a couple years later when I had some teaching that I mean, oh, that's why I felt different, because the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Anyway, God makes these deposits inside your heart when you're a child of God. And one of the things that He's deposited inside your heart is faith. It says that you're saved by grace through faith in Ephesians chapter 2. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, God has deposited on the inside of you a portion of His faith when you received Him as your Savior. Now that faith can develop and that faith can grow, just like when you're born with your arms and your legs. You know, when you're a year old, you can't drive a car yet. But stick around a while and you will, okay? Because what you have is already there, it just has to be developed. Are you with me? And so the faith is nothing more than trust. We don't want to complicate things. Faith is a trust in the living God. What He said in His Word, He will do it. You know, God's very predictable. Some religious minister gets up there and said, well, you never know what God's going to do. Now, that won't put any faith in anybody. You never know what God's going to do. You can't find a scripture anywhere in the Bible that says that. That's not even a scripture. That's someone that made up a saying. But I tell you what, God says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. What God says in His Word is exactly what He will do if you trust Him. Okay? That's not like that roulette thing. He loves me. He loves me not. Remember that? He loves me. He loves me not. No, it's I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You can count on the love of God. Amen? And see, that love is so freeing that love of God eliminated. The Bible says perfected love casteth out fear. You ever cast somebody out of your house before? Maybe not. You thought about it. Well, let's put it this way. How many of you ladies like spiders in your house? My wife does not like spiders in the house. Okay? So I get called upon frequently. There was one last night. That thing was about that big. I'm like, where's that thing at? It was so small. But another point being is this. What you don't want in your house, you get rid of it. You get rid of it. If there's something, you know, you wouldn't want a snake crawling around in your house. I never understood this, the understanding that people have snakes for pets. I don't understand. Now, please forgive me if you have a pet snake, we'll pray for you. There's a big difference between a little furry puppy dog and a slithering snake that wants to take you down. Isn't there? That's a revelation today, isn't it? Where am I going with this? Okay, in other words, what you don't want in your house, you get rid of it. And the Bible says that love, perfect love, casteth out fear. Fear. Fear hath torment. Right? You fear you won't have enough money at the end of the month. You fear for that child. You fear for that whatever, that situation. You fear for your health. But perfect love, God is love, will wipe out that fear. You will have no more fear. In fact, it'll release you from the fear of death. Because, you know, folks, as believers, we don't have to even be afraid of death. Because there is no death for the believer. It's called to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Over the last month, I've been listening to some different people, authentic people that are real, that have taken trips to heaven and have gone to heaven for different reasons, you know, and then they came back in their body and they were here to communicate the things that they experience. And one of the common threads I've seen throughout, I would say, 6 or 7 of the people that have talked about their experience is this over, when they got to heaven, this overwhelming sense of acceptance and love from God that was beyond human words. It was totally beyond human words. They tried their best to describe it, but it's just like liquid love. You know what I'm saying? That's the atmosphere of heaven. But you don't have to wait to go to heaven to experience that. That love is here right now. Amen? That love that we have towards God and towards one another, that's in this place right now. And when I know how much God loves me, I don't have to be afraid because He's going to take care of me. Amen? I'm driving down, taking a trip somewhere or getting on an airplane or somewhere, you know, and we've already prayed, committed it to the Lord. I can look out that window and say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? I don't have to worry about that thing going down in some ocean somewhere. Amen? We can trust the Lord. He's going to take care of us. I know that's bad English, but you know what I'm saying. He's going to take care of us. All right. Moving right along here. Where's our time going here? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, go over to Acts 14 again. We saw this last week, but there's some other things I want to show you in here. Okay? Do you know it's impossible to be depressed and trust God at the same time?
Amen.
I'll say that again. It's impossible to be depressed if you're really trusting the Lord. Because if I'm trusting the Lord, what in the world am I sad about? Why am I crying the blues? Why am I upset? Why am I downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Amen? If I'm trusting God, I have a smile on my face. Now, it might start out by faith. You smile by faith. You know, you do it by faith. But all of a sudden, you get used to doing it by faith. You realize, yeah, that's right. I've got the victory right now. Amen. Praise God. See, the devil is a proclaimer of doom and gloom. That's how he is. That's who he is. And he will say, you're going under. Your family's going under. Your finances are going under. You'll never get married in this life. And the list goes on and on and on and on. He's a proclaimer of doom and gloom and bad news. But God's not like that. He proclaims to you hope and faith. That, you know what, to give you an expected end. Things are going to take place in your life.
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen.
One thing I've learned, and I'm still learning, there's a lot I still have to learn, but I praise God for what I do know. I really do. I'm further along than I was a year ago. And next year I'll be further along than I am now. I reach for the prize, like Paul said, you know. But, God is a good God.
Amen.
And He has so many good things. If you knew how good God was, you would never run from Him.
Amen.
Young people, if you knew how good God was, you would never turn your back on Him. You would never run from Him. If you knew how good He really is, He's got a tremendous plan for your life. You would run to Him because He is our answer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But Acts chapter 14, real quick here. So faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God.
Yes.
We saw this last week. Now you wonder why sometimes we repeat Scripture. Say, brother, you shared that Scripture last week. Why are we doing it again? Because that's how we learn.
Yeah. Amen.
Remember in kids in grade school, 2 times 2, 2 plus 2, over and over and over again until it gets drilled. Now to this day, you can quote it off by heart. Right? So repetition isn't bad. It's positive because it's reinforcement. The Apostle Peter said that though you know these things, he says, I'm going to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. He goes, I'm going to tell you this again. I've told you before, now I'm going to tell you again. Well, look at Acts 14. It says, verse 7, talking about Paul and Barnabas, it says, and there they preached the gospel. So the gospel is what? Good news. All right. So they're preaching some good news here, right? The gospel, you know, sometimes we religiousize it, the gospel. Jim, it just means good news. It says this, they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, notice this, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now, he never knew, his parents never knew what it was like to take first steps, or even a crawl for that matter. This guy was crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And this same verse 9, say, right place. At the right time. Here's a guy that's never walked before, never took a step in his entire life, let alone even crawled, but he's in an atmosphere where the Word of God is being preached. Someone had to have told him about this for the simple reason he's there. He's still crippled, but he's in an atmosphere where the gospel is being preached. And then verse 9, the same heard Paul speak. Now, how does faith come? By hearing, right? So this crippled man, he heard words, right? He heard Paul speak, and steadfastly, Paul beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, notice this man had faith to be healed, but he's still crippled. You know, people can have faith to be delivered and they're still in bondage. And I'll show you the process right here. Because the man had faith to be healed. Paul had a perception, being a preacher. You know, you can tell when someone's getting it. Right? When I'm ministering, I can tell if someone's bored, if they're looking at their clock all the time, or texting. Hello. Are you with me now? The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and he walked. This guy jumped straight up in the air, and the power of God came into his legs, gave him strength, and he jumped and he leaped and he praised God and he ran into the temple. As a result, many people were saved. Okay? But notice that the whole process of how this thing, I like to take things apart and like to see, okay, how did this happen? Was this just like abracadabra and all of a sudden somebody just decided to get healed that day? No. This man was in an atmosphere where the gospel, the good news, was being proclaimed. Paul had to have been preaching the gospel of not only salvation from your sins, but he had to be preaching healing or he would have never had faith to be healed. Paul would preach out of Isaiah 53, you know, who hath believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. And so he proclaimed that. He announced that. And he proclaimed that. And this guy was just dumb enough to believe it. Amen? See, that's the problem sometimes with what you educated. Nothing wrong with education, but don't let education get in your way. Okay? You can have 5 PhDs if you want, but don't let that stand in your way from believing God. Okay? Are you with me? Said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet. And he leaped up and he walked. So long story short, he got healed, right? But how did that process start? It started with this hearing and hearing the Word of God. Sometimes through the years, and sometimes it's frustrating as a minister sometimes. Sometimes it's rewarding. Sometimes it can be frustrating because how much word are we hearing? When we go through something, when we're under attack physically, for example, if you're under physically, your body's being attacked, how much gospel are you hearing during that process? It's just a question. The best time to put the word in you is when you're feeling well. Don't wait to get sick to put healing scriptures in you. Do it when you're well. Because when you're well, you're feeding your faith. When you feed your faith, you starve your doubts. Amen? Everybody knows here, just in a few minutes, hunger will start setting in. You're starting to think about lunch. Okay? When doubt comes against you, you starve your doubts. You say, no, I'm not eating on that today. I'm not having that today. I'm going to feed my faith. I'm going to feed my faith. How do you feed your faith? The Word of God. See, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. He was quoting Deuteronomy, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What bread is to your natural body, this Word of God is to your spirit. Okay? The Word is spirit food. So if you take one scripture, for example, you know, you can take, for example, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense. I've received healing from that scripture countless times in my body. Countless times. Okay? The Word of God works. If you take just one scripture even, just one scripture. I almost said measly, but there's no measly scripture. You take one scripture, there's enough power in one word to blow the lips off the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen? And you speak that scripture, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. What happens? You release the power of God to go into your body. You release the power of God to go into your physical condition. Praise the Lord. Now, there's just two more scriptures and we're out of time here. But Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Turn over there real quick. Now, what I want to leave you with here today is this. You and I are the determining factor of whether or not we have faith or not. We are also the determining factor whether we have weak faith or strong faith. Now listen, you can be strong in one part of your life, but be weak in another part. Did you know that? Just like in your body, you know, if you lifted weights with your arms, you might have huge biceps, but if you don't do anything with your legs, they're going to look like chicken legs. Are you with me now? Your faith muscle can grow, and when you use your faith and you believe God and you say His Word, that you're actually exercising that spiritual muscle called faith. You understand what I'm saying? And that faith has the capacity to grow and to develop. Okay? But in Luke chapter 5, there's just two more scriptures here. In Luke chapter 5, he says, and verse 14 says, and he charged him to tell no man, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing according to Moses, what Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more, when a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, notice this, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You see that 15th verse? That there was a great multitude of people that came together to what?
Hear.
Mm. Notice they didn't just come to get healed. No, this is in here for a reason. They came to hear and to be healed. That's why next Sunday when we have Remedy Healing School, we're going to come, we're going to hear the Word of God. Faith is coming up in us. And we can release that faith and receive.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So here's the progression. They came to hear. So how does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One other scripture, Luke 6. You're right there in Luke anyway. Turn over one page to Luke chapter 6. And this is another very similar phrase that we just read here. And verse 17 says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of Judea, Jerusalem, and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to what?
Hear
him, and to be healed of their diseases. I'll never forget the first time I saw this many years ago. I was in shock over this. I thought, what? I've read this countless times. I never saw it like that before. But it helps us to understand the progression, okay, of if we need help in a particular area, what verse are we standing on? Before you pray about anything, ask yourself, what scriptures am I standing upon to believe God for whatever it is? What promises am I standing on? Because that'll give you a sure foundation that when you do pray, He'll hear you. Because whatsoever you ask, you know that you have the petitions that you desire of Him if you ask according to His will or His word. We know that we have the petitions. When we pray according to His will, which is His word. Okay? The will of God and the word of God are one and the same. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. Amen. Now I want you to do this with me right now. I want you to put your hands on yourself just like this. Close your eyes. Now, in your mind's eye, I want you to see the fact you're a child of the living God. You already have faith on the inside of you. It's there. But today, what we're doing is we're calling upon that faith. We're stirring up that faith that's already inside you. It's already in there. Say this with me out loud. Say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you
for the faith of God,
that's on the inside of me.
I make a demand
on that faith
to be stirred up,
to be increased,
to be added,
to be multiplied
in my life. I make a firm decision
to speak only
what you said
in your word.
I repent
for speaking things
that were contrary
to your word.
And I thank you now, Lord,
for a new confidence,
a new faith
rising up
inside my heart
in the name of Jesus.
In the name, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You're breaking forth.
You're busting out.
You're coming out.
That inner man, that inward man, that spirit man, full of faith,
is rising up like Lazarus came out of the grave.
Yes, yes. And
just broke out of those grave clothes.
Yes.
And was revived.
Yes.
And so your faith is arising on the inside of you.
Yes. Yes.
Like a mighty giant. Rising up big, big, big. And the things that made you cry before will now make you laugh, because now you'll be looking at them in faith.
Amen.
You'll have the laugh of faith.
Hallelujah.
Ha ha.
No longer intimidated
by your circumstances. No longer intimidated by other people.
No,
no, no. Because you're strong in the Lord
and
in the power of His might.
You're strong in the Lord
and in the power of His might.
Thank you, Lord.
Just think about that. Selah.
I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.